Now, pet, relax and envision as I describe, letting something primal and ever-present in our natures come out in you. We have that myth, that labyrinthine imprisonment for a monster, a minotaur. The idea that the hallways, however they may wind and wend, would be inescapable to any but the most aided or clever. That it took enchanted yarn and a brave hero to get out of there. But the minotaurs of Marath are a little different. They may live in caves or hot springs. Certainly they're high in the mountains. But the only trap, the only imprisonment, is the most obvious one for anyone who's ever met one. A scent hangs about them. A musk. Heady, narcotic, pleasurable. The presence of which numbs discomfort, removes pain, and adds to arousal so thoroughly. And this is all born out of their cocks, those flared, pumping, dripping cocks, which are, in and of themselves, repressed. You see, a minotaur can only come while inside of a partner, while inside someone else's body. Only there can they successfully milk their ever-churning, usually difficult to disgorge, cocks. It's even worse for the smaller brethren known as minotaurs. Mini, the little ones. They are so often used due to their effeminate features and addiction to that splendid cum as repositories for their repressed brethren. And their cocks are smaller, although no less pleasurable to the taste, to the smell, to the exposure. So a minotaur cock is a labyrinth of its own, the unwary person exposed to the cum within, or merely to the musk and the pre-cum and the presence, would find themselves very shortly wrapped with pleasure. But the cock itself is not always present on a minotaur. It might be evoked on someone else. And this knowledge does reside in those who've been exposed. And I suppose somebody sufficiently hooked or desirous of that magnificent quality, that sweet, delicious, habit-forming semen, might find themselves returning again and again to find ways to change themselves. No matter what their body, the presence of a magnificent minotaur cock might drive many people to pursue it who would not otherwise. Only problem, of course, is that the magnificent length and size and qualities of the minotaur's flared, perfect penis might be beyond the reach of many. And sitting at their campground, a vial of aquinium in one hand, a vial of purified incubi draft in the other. The desirous and impetuous minotaur cum aficionado might mix those two blends, bring it to their lips, and swallow. And if such a person did so, allowing their body to fall back, eyes rolling in their heads, because, of course, they would have mixed a little minotaur cum in there, which means, well, what are the effects of that labyrinthine and deep, dark addiction? Well, if such a person were to drink some, they might find themselves becoming lightheaded, giddy, aroused, wrapped up in the moment. And then, that's the minotaur cum. The aquinium might take control, and they might find a sudden dulling of their senses, a quieting of the mind, an arching of the body. And then the feeling between their legs of, oh, tingling, that must be the incubi draft. And then suddenly, a slight discomfort followed by, oh, a rapturous sense of orgasm. And then bursting forth, changing, something regular-sized, in addition to any equipment that might already be there, a brand new Minotaur cock. Short at first, and that's the problem. Unlike a real Minotaur, this is just an additional appendage, but oh, with a flare of near-orgasmic pleasure, something seeming to descend beneath it, a pair of balls just hanging there, resting against flesh, stimulating what's already there, right below that slightly flared, relatively short cock. Easy to wrap one's hand around, easy to stroke. And with the first stroke, the air fills with the faint scent of musky, pleasurable cum. Some of it's already in the system of this person, of this listener, of this seated figure reclined on the warm grass of their campsite. The gasp runs through. And the problem, of course, is that that tempting scent is there. Perhaps a hand dips between legs, finding it. It's a sensitive organ. It's as if it's wired into the muscles and the nerve endings. Your entire groin, buttocks, everywhere. Even your stomach seeming to pull in with the pure deepness of your breath. Yes. Already somewhat giddy from the powerful potions pulsing in your system, making you hot under the collar, making you arch, making every inch of everything between your legs spasm and groan. You feel that pull of the Minotaur come and thinking to yourself, well, now I have my own dispenser, and after all, those balls are already feeling swollen, heavy against your flesh. The musk rising, feverishly, grasping your hand around it, stroking up and down, as the skin moves on the flared head, there's a unique pulling sensation. It's so long in there, and as it gets hard, it seems to focus your whole body on that length, to pull your thoughts in, as if you were being dragged into a dark, wonderful labyrinth. The scent is practically palpable. You feel a tiny drop of pre-cum ooze from the head, and that sensation enough to make your head arch back as your other hand scoops it up, brings it to your mouth, and licks the sweet taste of even the pre-cum, with tiny amounts of that Minotaur nature flaring through it, is enough. Groaning giddily, your hand stroking ever more feverishly, as if it were pushing some little button inside of you, every time the foreskin moved down and your hand meets your crotch, meets your balls on the underside, meets your flesh above. Every stroke is pushing a little button that makes your buttocks push forward, telling you you want to be thrusting. You want to be moving. You want to be experiencing the perfect and unique pleasures that only this new form can bring. You wonder, oh, what would you do if you were thrusting in and out, feeling that pulsing and churning in your balls, ebbing upward, flowing along your shaft. But regardless of how long the stroking endures, that climactic peak is not reached. Instead, your balls seem to churn ever more readily, warm against your flesh, larger and larger, filling up as if your arousal were being converted in some device, becoming cum, delicious Minotaur cum, which you can't get at, no matter how much you stroke. No matter how much something like a simple but desperate grunting moo escapes you. The desire, The desire to thrust, to fill, to come, and then to pull out and bring your head down and lick your cum from your partner's body or from inside of them and just guzzle down your own intoxicating grace. That urge growing in you, repressed as you imagine poor little minotaurs must be, as they become more and more repressed and stopped up and achy, needing to get off but unable to do it with their hands, walking around, constantly on the verge of arousal. That swollen member pushing their loincloths upward, pushing outward, always present, aware of it pressing against the inside of your leg, dangling, present, teasing, nagging throughout the day whenever there isn't something so pressing as to push arousal from your head, and always catching scent of your own musk, your own teasing desire, what you thought would be a blessing and a clever idea, turned into a curse, grazing against your inner thighs with heat and musk, so that even your clothing will smell like the sweet, almost vanilla scent of joyous, wonderful cum, which to your senses, becoming increasingly habituated to it, just smells better and better. And who knows what will teasingly remain? Who knows what will follow? As you rise eventually, that throbbing member aching, perhaps the impression, or perhaps something rigid that controls you, and makes you just a cock that needs to come, and a you that craves that come. Aching. And when it does come, when you're permitted, you know how good it'll be.